Amen. All right. How's everybody doing? Summer. It's here. And I don't know about you, but summer's always kind of been a spiritual time. I don't know why. Maybe the hustle and bustle of some things are not there anymore. But it always causes me to reflect. I remember I always felt sure God wanted me to play football in the NFL. And okay. All right. So anyway, but I remember my mom wouldn't let me play football till I was a freshman in high school. She's afraid I'd get hurt or afraid others would get hurt by me. I don't know, something like that. So anyway, I go out and play, and I get to be the guy on the team, because if you're the fastest guy on the team, which I was, and I know that's probably really hard for you to believe, but that ain't even a joke. I had wheels. And anyway, but I was one of the smaller guys, so what you get to do when you're fast and small is you get to be the kickoff return guy. Everybody know what that is? Very beginning, most exciting part of the football game, kickoff. And there's always a short, muscular, fast guy, and I was the guy. And one problem, I couldn't really catch a kickoff. I don't know what the problem was, but I probably dropped 8 out of 10. And it was awful, because those became the most spiritual times in my life in high school, when that ball was turning in the air, and I'd just say, "Dear Jesus, let me catch this one," you know? And it hit me in the chest, you know, or the back of the head, for whatever reason, I was turned the other way, and it was awful. But the reason I played football were for those 2 out of 10 times. When I would actually catch the ball, or it would like hit me in the face mask and stick, which I count that as a catch. And I would run, you know, 5 yards, 10 yards. The 10 yards is about as far as I ever got. But it was a really exciting time because everybody was chanting my name. My parents had put their newspapers down because I caught this one. And that's why I played. You got jerseys. You got an away jersey and a home jersey. And the big deal was in my high school, is on that Friday of game day, we had to wear our jersey to school, but we found, you know, a lucky little lady who could wear the other jersey. And usually my sister wore mine, but but that's why I played, because I was seeking for people to like me, to be popular, and I'm from Ohio where they really know how to play football. And I don't want to hear any Gator stuff. Go to Florida. We do have one guest from Florida, and we're glad you're here. And we like the Gators, most of us. And but that's why I played, because that's what I was seeking. I wanted everybody to like me, and I wanted to have the jersey and to be part of something, to be part of a team. And it wasn't a bad thing, but I was just reminded with a real inability to be good at football. You know, it was hard to achieve what you were looking for, because ultimately I wanted what every guy in high school wanted. A girl. Amen? Nobody. It's because we've all grown up and realized, run. Don't do it. And I would go from one moment of missing the point to another. And so I remember one time I'd spent all day with my girlfriend. We'd been together from the morning till evening. I would go home, and as soon as I get home, what do I got to do? You got to call. And my dad was one of those dads that had he was incredibly strict. I mean, I remember there were times I'd just stand there and dad smacked me upside the head and I was like, "What?" He said, "I know what you were thinking." So my house, you weren't even allowed to think it, you know? And so my dad had this deal that I was not allowed to be on the phone after 10 o'clock. So when I got home, it's like 9:58. And so I got to call her real quick, make sure she's okay, because I hadn't seen her for 12, 13 minutes, you know? And so I could get, and I dial the number and it's busy. I hit redial until redial forgets the number. And I dial it again. It's like 9:59. And I'm like, "What am I doing? I've been in church all my life." So I just hung up the phone and knelt beside the bed. And I said, "Lord Jesus, I beseech you in this hour. And Lord, when I get done praying, I'm going to dial the phone. And I just ask you, Lord, to let it ring." So it's like 9:59:50. And I dial the phone. And guess what? It rang. Because I'm praying to the God of heaven and earth. And it rang. And it rang. And it rang. And finally, this voice answers the phone and said, "Hello?" And it didn't sound like anybody lived in my girlfriend's house. And I said, "Is Mary there?" She said, "I'm sorry, honey, you got the wrong number." And as it rolled to 10 o'clock, I imagine that Jesus was on the ground laughing in heaven. saying, he just said, let the phone ring. He didn't say who he wanted to talk to, you know? And again, always seeking the wrong thing. Even here I am now, 25 years old, still, okay, I'm a little older than that, but still seeking the wrong things. Anybody here seeking the wrong things? Seven of you. Won't you come on up here and tell us what? No, I'm joking. Seeking the wrong things. And I got to be honest, a lot of things I'm seeking, they're good things. I mean, they're good things. But you got to remember, and I've said this a lot on Wednesday night, God is not about the good stuff. He's about what? The best. And He wants the best for your life, the best for my life, and good is not the best. And so even as I get off in what I'm seeking for, I think we have to ask ourselves, and again, I don't know why Summer does this to me, I begin to really think about what I'm seeking. I've just recently began another trek to lose weight. Please don't laugh. It's been hard. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, and the whole time I'm on the treadmill today running like, what do I want? What do I want? You know, I mean, what is all this really about? I mean, what is it that I'm seeking in this? Because here's what I found, that most of the things that I'm seeking, I'd love to tell you as one of your pastors that they're good, godly things. But, you know, a lot of times I think what our seeking comes down to is for our own self-glorification. And I think it's the easiest trap for us to get into. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many of you know that? How many figured out that every day has plenty? Don't even get to start worrying about tomorrow, because today's all that I can handle. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. I want to pull a couple things out of the First John series. I got some emails from some of you, and I always appreciate those emails. And so because of a few that I got, I just want to kind of go back on some things, because the quickest trap I fall into is believing that I can earn what God wants to give me. Now, we talked about this. We talked about it. But even as I was thinking about it, I thought about it in this light. When I'm trying to do something and to be something, really believing that it's going to earn me some kind of favor with God, what am I ultimately seeking? My own glory. And the Bible clearly states that we were created for the glory of God. And I find even some of the holy things I do, I'm not even doing them for the glory of God. I'm doing them for my own glory. And so I want to earn God's favor, because I don't know, sometimes do you feel like you just don't have favor with God? And sometimes it's the circumstances of the day. You know, sometimes that bill came in, we weren't expecting. The car began to clutter. You know, I've told you all kinds of stories about my car. Well, now my driver's side door won't shut anymore. And it's always embarrassing, because now I get in the car, I pull the door to, and then I got to find this little thing. And I take it out and I hook my door handle so my door doesn't fly open. And I'm just like, God, I mean, I just want the door to shut. That's it, God. I don't want a whole bunch. I want the door to shut. You know ultimately why I want the door to shut? Because it's embarrassing to get out while you're talking to somebody, get in your car, pull out your bungee cord. I mean, does everybody have your bungee cord that secures your door? Hook it on there, and everybody's like, what's that? I'm like, oh, they're doing it out in California now, and you know. Because it's about my glory. And so Matthew 6:33 is reminding us, if you're going to seek after anything, seek after the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, I want you to know something. It's very significant that it says His righteousness, because my righteousness to God is filthy rags. So my righteousness does me no good at all. So I'm to seek His righteousness, because everything I need, I have in Jesus Christ. And listen, even when it doesn't feel like it, everything I need, I have in Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything. He withholds nothing from me that I need. Does everybody hear that? I mean, I really want you to hear this, Because I know some of us really struggle. We feel like if we go to church enough, or if we get involved in Bible study, if we do good things, it's going to earn favor with God. Let me tell you, the most incredible thing God will do for you, He's already done. Jesus has already gone to the cross. If you're a follower of Jesus, your sin has been forgiven, and that is the greatest thing that can happen, is that you enter into a relationship with God. You can't earn His favor. You already have it. And listen to this. I have God's favor and disobedience. Now let me explain that just for a minute. Because you can have God's favor and God not be pleased with you. Does everybody understand that? My children never lose my favor. They're my children. And no matter how disobedient they are, they do not lose my favor. I am not always pleased with them, but they are my children. I want you to know, if we can muster up that kind of love and commitment out of a human heart, how much greater is the commitment that God has for us? Because when it came to His children, what did God do? The Bible says He sent His one and only Son. Why? So that you and I could have life. Do you think God will go back on what Jesus has done? That's a question. No, absolutely not. And I know this is tough for some of us sitting here, because we know the stuff that's going on in our lives. I mean, and we still do good to pretend when we get here, don't we? We still good, hey, everything's great, and I'm this person or I'm that kind of a person. But you know, I can fool a lot of people, but I can't fool me, and I can't fool God. This isn't about that. It is about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do you know why we seek after that? Because it's all we need. That is all I need. And there are things that I love and things that are dear to me. But I want you to know, if I get home tonight and my wife's gone and there's a note saying, raise the kids, I'm out of here. Do you know what? I have everything I need in Jesus. Now, does that mean it's going to be a fun time? This will be interactive tonight. Oh, no. Will there be pain? Is it going to hurt? Well, I might even say life sucks right now. Absolutely. But guess what? I have everything I need in Jesus. Now, I want you to, now this is a word for somebody tonight. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are all these things? Everything you need, you will have. Everything. Now, this is good news tonight, because I can't earn what God wants to give me. I can't earn that. If I earned it, it wouldn't be for God's glory. It would be for my glory. Let me ask you this question. Who do you think is most desirous of God's glory? Who do you think is, do I need to say it a different way? Who is most passionate about God's glory? Say it now. Say it. It's hard to say it. People really struggle with this. Nobody's more passionate about the glory of God than God. But let me tell you why that's a great thing. Because God is so passionate about His glory that Jesus went to the cross. You and I can be saved. Our sin can be forgiven. And it is a good thing that God is passionate about His glory. That is a good thing. That is, in human terms, you might try to say, well, that's self-seeking. God is the only one who can be self-seeking, because we can't be benefited by anybody else seeking themselves except God. And so God sends Jesus to the cross, and He dies, and His blood is shed so that our sin can be forgiven. Nobody's more passionate about the glory of God than God. And I want us to see that tonight as a very good thing. Because God is so passionate about His glory that, guess what? He will use the most common things to bring Him glory. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Somebody in one of the emails said, you know, they said they're a believer, and they said, you know, how can I stand before God? And that's kind of the wrong question. Because as believers, we can stand before God. I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you ask forgiveness of your sin, you don't have to come and find me. Everybody realize that? You didn't have to go find Pastor Jeff or Pastor Keith and confess your sin. You know why? Because the veil has been torn in two, and you have access to God just like I do. And so now you take that sin to God on your own. You can do that. And listen, and that is an incredibly God-glorifying thing that we have access to the Father. So we can stand before God. But I think this is the greater question. Let me read this. Psalm 24, David writes, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Everybody hear that? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It is all His. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? Now here's the question. It's not, can we stand before God? The question is, how do we stand before God? And David writes this. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol. Clean hands and pure hearts. Now, I've really thought about, what does this mean to have clean hands and pure hearts? And I don't think it's anything tough that you have to have a theologian explain it. I think it means what it says, that we have clean hands and a pure heart. You see, our hands have been given, and you've heard the phrase that we're to be the hands of Jesus. And so we are kind of the bodily manifestation of Jesus, and that people should see Jesus in us and how we live our lives. Now, don't confuse this. This is not how you have God's favor. This is how we are to stand before God, with clean hands and a pure heart. I don't know about you, but I have stood before God on many occasions with unclean hands and an impure heart. Anybody else? And so here we are. We're in this human predicament. That we are subject to the conditions of a sin-fallen world, so there's temptation, and all these things are surrounding us, and that's why the Bible says, so seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So that's what I want to seek. So what does it mean to have clean hands and a pure heart? I believe a lot of that means that we're seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. How many of you realize this is the one life you've been given to live for the glory of God? How many of you realize God has put you here for a reason, for a purpose, that your life matters? It has significance because of God. The only value to my life is because of what Jesus has done for me. That is it. And yet, I've been placed here for a reason. And I guess it obviously wasn't to play in the NFL. Maybe I could have. I mean, you're all laughing at me. You didn't. I got a 2-minute highlight film of 4 years of high school football. I'll bring it one Wednesday night. We'll watch it. But that wasn't what God wanted. It wasn't God's desire for my life. It wasn't the way in which God was planning on using me. Now, I want you to know, I started off, the first college I went to, I was about an hour from home, and I went there. I was miserable. You weren't allowed to wear blue jeans on campus. You were never allowed to wear shorts, not even in the gym. And it was so bogged down with religion, I didn't want anything to do with it. And I'd met a football recruiter from Campbellsville University. And he said words I had never heard before. "We would like you to play football at Campbellsville." And I said, "Well, you know, how much money are we talking that you're going to pay me?" He said, "Well, right now we're just trying to get a team. We have no scholarships." I said, "That sounds good. I'll play." And so I went to Campbellsville because I was going to be a collegiate football star. And it became painfully obvious after a day that I was going to be on a team probably, but I was not going to be a star. But that's what I wanted. But you know, God had other plans. And it was during that time that I realized I was seeking after the wrong things. And I really came to this point where I said, "God, what do you want with my life? God, what do you want me to do?" And I found this. God's never as concerned about what He wants you to do as what He wants you to be. And that's what it means to have clean hands and a pure heart. I mean, how many of us right now, man, we can look at areas in our lives and know that those areas are not bringing glory to God. And we just know that. Well, let me just tell you, I've already told you, you have God's favor. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're in relationship with Jesus, and nothing's going to separate you from that. But there is this expectation of my life. And tonight I want to ask you, what are you seeking? What is it that you really want? And then after you figure that out, get rid of it. try not to want that anymore. Try to want God more than you want anything else. Now, that's very easy for me to stand up here and say. And I can't say it because I've mastered it, because I'm in the journey also. And even in ministry, Pastor Keith, Pastor Jeff will tell you, even in ministry, I have to make sure that this ministry is about the glory of God and not my glory. And it's a huge temptation to want it to be about me and want it to be about my glory. And I have to struggle with that. But God, I want you to be glorified. It's so funny. And I'll just, this will be really confessional. But there are some Wednesday nights when I preach that I'm just like, oh my gosh, that was good. That was powerful. Well, God, I believe the work's been done, so let's have altar. And nobody comes. I'm like, was the mic on? What's going on? I mean, that was good. I took notes while I was up there. Like, hey, wow. But then, and trust me, I've had maybe two of those experiences since I, okay. But then there's a lot of times when I just like, man, Lord, I'm sorry. That was awful. It probably nobody's going to come back next week. It's probably going to shut down Wednesday night worship after tonight. You know, God forgive me. And, well, let's have altar. And then it's like, pfft. And I'm like, maybe it wasn't that bad. And God's like, I'm that powerful. This isn't about you. This isn't about you. This is about me. It's about my power. I heard a preacher talk about how we've so misunderstood the story of David and Goliath. And he was talking about all the different meanings. He said it comes down to this very simple thing that God used this little, unknown, insignificant kid to slay the warrior giant of another nation. And the message isn't, wow, David was great. The message is, God will use anything that he wants and he can accomplish anything with it. Because I don't think most of us feel like we've got it all together. I think most of us feel like, I hope nobody knows what a wreck my life is. Sometimes at our house, my in-laws will call because they live about an hour away. Say, hey, we're 20 minutes away. We're going to surprise you guys. And me and wife look at the house. And I'm like, tell them we're not home. She's like, they called the phone, you idiot. That's true. And I mean, we're throwing clothes in the closet, and, you know, we're trying to make it look, oh, the house is always pristine. Don't go in those four rooms. Because I think that's how we feel. I hope nobody knows what a wreck my life really is. Can I just tell you something? God knows. And so, you know what I hope to have happen tonight? What I hope to have happen tonight is all of us here, we say, gosh, my life is a wreck. I don't have any great things about me. Because I want to tell you, if you leave here tonight feeling that way, you're going to be the one that God's going to do a phenomenal work through. Because you will be certain that you won't be able to get any of that glory. Now that is a good way to be. I don't mean depressing. I don't mean to be down on you. I just mean, you know what? I don't have my life all together. And I feel bad about that sometimes. And I wish it was more together. And I wish things were this way or things were that way. Or I was this or I was that. But you know what? I feel like anytime God uses me, I'll never be able to get an ounce of the glory because nobody will believe it was me. They'll be like, him? And I'm going to tell you, that is a good thing. That is a good thing. To own who we are. To own where we are and yet say, God, whatever you want to do, here's my life. So tonight, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek after Him. Somebody asked me, said, well, Pastor Damon, there's something I really want in my life, and said, I'd like to share that with you. And I never know if I really want to hear those things because you never know what people are going to say. And, you know, this person told me what they're seeking after. And they said, is that wrong? I said, here's what's wrong. If you seek after anything more than you seek after God, that's wrong. That's wrong. I mean, it doesn't even come down to morality. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Or what? It comes down to, what are you seeking more than anything? What is it? What is it? Because we want to stand before God with clean hands and pure hearts. I want to say a couple practical things or applicable things for us to think about tonight. One of the ways, especially as humans, one of the worst ways that our hearts are impure and our hands are unclean is in our relationships to one another. It's one of the easiest places to derail because this person said this about me, or they didn't say this to me, or they treated me this way, and we begin to harbor things. And those things become a stumbling block. And really, those things are about self-glorification. I deserve to be treated the right way. I deserve this, or I deserve that. How are your relationships tonight? Got any relationships that aren't very good? Because I think one of the invitational moments tonight is maybe some of us need to go home and make a phone call and tell somebody we're sorry, even if it's not all your fault, even if it's not your fault at all. Now, I want you to hear this, okay? Because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we love, your life is for the glory of God, but then you need to tell somebody you're sorry. Did we kind of shut down? Like, I can already tell in the body language, a lot of people just shut down. They're like, okay, let's have the altar and get out of here. But you know, that's part of what it means to have clean hands and a pure heart. That's part of what it means. Most of the time, my most difficult relationships are at home. And that can be really tough. I can tell a stranger I'm sorry easier than I can tell my wife. Isn't that horrible? I'm so glad she's not here tonight. It shouldn't be like that. And we should have that kind of integrity and authenticity in our relationships. Listen, for God's glory. For God's glory. That's one of the things. What are some of the things you're seeking? I mean, some of you already have identified an area of your life where you're seeking something and you know it's totally about you. So how do we allow that to take a back seat? Say, God, I want you above all things. Now, if I knew that, I'd have a book out for sale right now. But I know that it comes in the seeking. And getting on our face before God. And I say that phrase a lot. Because if all your prayer life is sitting at the table blessing the food, you don't have a prayer life. Because there are some days when I can't even pray unless my face is on the ground. And I'm going to tell you, it's a powerful way to pray. I know I've probably told you this story before. I was a youth pastor and we took all these kids to camp. And I took this young college intern with me. And we're in the middle of the praise and worship, and, you know, we're Baptists, and so Baptists stand up when? When you're told to stand up. And when do you sit down? When you're told to, so we're Baptists, I mean, that's how we do it, right? And so we're at youth camp, and we haven't been told to stand. And all of a sudden, this young youth or college intern stands up, and he's got his hands raised up in the air, and he's like, I love you, Jesus, I love you. And I know they didn't say for us to be yelling stuff, you know? And all the kids are looking at me like, tell him to sit down, you know. And I would have, but I just couldn't get to him. I was like, they haven't said stand up. They never tell us to raise our hands, you know. So I'm going to have a talk with him. The next morning, I'm going to talk to him after we have the youth minister's prayer time. And we go in for prayer and nobody else is there. It's just me and this intern. And I was like, well, I guess we're going to breakfast early. He goes, we could pray. And I'm thinking, well, who's going to tell us to start? You know, nobody's there. And I said, well, okay, that's fine. Let's pray. I do this, and all of a sudden I hear him pray, and he's saying, oh, God, Lord Jesus, I love you. And I'm like, what's in his mouth? You know, and again, I'm Baptist, so I can't open my eyes during prayer because God doesn't hear you when your eyes are open and you pray. So if you're a guest tonight, that's totally a joke, okay? So I look, he's laying on the ground. He has his legs spread and his arms spread, his face smashed right on the ground. And, you know, and then some people start coming in for prayer. And I'm like, and I'm just embarrassed for the kid, honestly. I'm just embarrassed. You know, people coming in, I'm like, college kid. So he finally gets up. He gets up, he's got stuff all on his forehead, like dirt and branches. Not big branch, you know, just stuff. And he gets up and he's like, man, so are we all going to pray? And I'm just like, I just want to just wipe his head, you know. He's got stuff on his nose and I'm embarrassed for him. And all of a sudden God said to me, I wish you would seek me like that. I wish you wouldn't care if the stuff of God is on your head. And I wish you'd worried more about what I thought than what everybody else thinks. But you see, I'm afraid, because if I really seek God, I may get on the ground in front of everybody at a very inappropriate time, you know, like not at church. And I'm like, Lord, please, I'm just going to Walmart. I'm just grabbing something. You know, let's not have one of those moments there. My wife's always sending me. She's like, we need toilet paper. Go get it. And I'm like, I hate to buy toilet paper. Everybody knows what you're going to do with it. I hate it. I hate to do that. And I'm afraid to seek God because I don't know what He's going to ask of me. And I don't know what He's going to want of me. I know that whatever He asks me to do, I'll be able to do it because it's Him. But what if I get embarrassed? What if everybody's laughing? What if everybody's looking at me, God? I'm afraid if I really, really seek God, He may ask crazy things of me. And let me tell you this, if you're not doing crazy things, then you haven't been hearing from God. Because what He calls me to do is never normal. It never fits in. It's never socially acceptable. But it always creates undercurrents. It always makes ripples. And it always touches people's lives. And I'm afraid if I really seek Him like that, I'll be like that kid. And God says, that's not a bad thing. I want you to seek me more than you seek everybody else. I want you to seek me more than you seek everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That means you'll have everything you need. And the only times I don't have what I need is when I'm not seeking God. What are you seeking tonight? How do you make it take a back seat? I think you're going to have to get on your face before God. And I mean really, really seek Him. And let me just say this, and then we'll have altar. So Keith, if you want to come. When you're really seeking God, let me tell you, it's because it's a circular thing. When you're really seeking God, that means that what He tells you when you're seeking Him, you do. You do that. So that as I'm seeking Him, as I'm hungry for Him to move in my life, and while I'm wanting whatever He wants for me, He begins to show me things that don't need to be in my life or things that do need to be in my life. And in truly seeking Him, I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And so my prayer tonight is that we would really seek Him. I mean, really seek Him. Bible says, seek the Lord while He may be found. And a lot of people speculate on what that means. Here's what I think. I think now is the time. Jesus hasn't come back yet. And so I want to seek Him with clean hands and a pure heart. Father, we love You. I thank You that You even allow us to seek You. Because I can't seek You on my own. It's never my idea, but it's always You moving and working in my life, causing me to even desire to seek You. So Lord, tonight, as we seek You, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, open our eyes so that we can see what it is You want from our lives. Open our ears so that we would hear from You, and open our hearts so that we'll be obedient to what You're calling us to do. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that the earth is Yours and everyone who's in it. So here are our lives. Lord Jesus. We're just a bunch of Davids. And so, Lord, use us. Be glorified in us, through us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand. Church, let's seek him tonight. Let's really seek him tonight. This altar is open.